Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, verse number 15. The Bible says, "Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, Who is this image and superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. Then said he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, If a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren. The first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. The last of all, the woman died also. Therefore in the resurrections, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. And Jesus answered and said unto them, You do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and say, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. I want to preach tonight just a little while, if God will be my help, on what Jesus is trying to talk to us about here in Matthew 22, and that's our relationships. Our relationships. As we look at that, and I got to thinking about this morning about this, and as these people were coming and they were coming to the Lord, and I began to wonder within myself, can a mortal man question God? Can a mortal man question God and hope to win? Can any mortal person question God with any hope to win? I thought of the answer in Job chapter 38, verse 1 through 3. And when God began to question with Job and began to ask him if he was there when he established the foundations, amen. He said, "Were you there when the foundations were established?" No man can question God, amen, and win. It don't work that way. But we look at this and we see as God was a-talking and they were a-questioning him. And the reason they was questioning the way they were was because of a lack of relationship. Amen. Without a relationship with Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, there is no salvation. There is no hope and there is no help. I talked to a guy today, and he was talking about, he said, yeah, I said, you know, I don't go to church, and I don't do the things at the church, but I love God, and I pray every night. And now God knows his heart, I don't. But I want to say, praise God, I said, there's a difference between a relationship with God. There's difference between a profession and a possession. We can have a profession all day long, amen. The devils know who God is and they tremble and shake, praise God, even at the thought of his presence. But those devils and demons of hell and the devil himself are not saved. Amen. But in a right relationship, praise God, we begin to see how this plays out. The Lord begins to give us some relationships here as we look at this. The first relationship we see here is the government and God. Amen? The government and God. I want to say, praise God, the government tries to intervene in a lot of things. But I want to say one place God, the government should never try to intervene is the business of God. We ought to reverence God. They ought to respect God. They ought to seek to try to be godly and Godward, amen, so that God could bless and help. Without God in our lives, we can do nothing. Jesus tells us that. And without God in our government, it can't do nothing either. Amen. It'll just be at a standstill. It won't go nowhere and it won't do nothing. It'll not do nothing to benefit you and it'll not do nothing to benefit me. I praise God because God in our government's what makes government work. Our founding fathers said in this nation, praise God, that there has to be a higher power that we reverence and recognize in order to get things done, in order to stay on the right path, and without that, we will fail. I believe that, don't you?
Yeah, amen.
Amen. You get away from God, praise God, you get away from any help that's out there for you. Amen. So we see here that the Pharisees come to him and with the Herodians and they said, hey, listen, you know, we just want to ask you a question. We know that you're a man of God and that you're not a respecter of persons. Amen. Said, you don't take any of that into account. You just come bearing the truth. And we just want to ask you a question. You know, is it lawful? What thinkest thou? Said, is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? I say, is it lawful to pay your taxes? Is it lawful to do the things that the government says that you should do? Now, I want you to notice this. I'm talking about the government, but the government and God. Amen? I want to say there's a distinction between the government and God. Now, the government can be a good thing if it goes with God. If it does things that's Godward, if it does things that's in a Godward direction, if it does things that's pleasing to God. According to what God says. But when a government goes contrary to God or where they leave God out like our government is today, amen, we're in a mess. Amen. But they asked this question of the Lord. And the Lord, of course, he knew their wickedness. He perceived it. He said, why tempt you me, you hypocrites? Amen. So the Lord knew right out of the gate what they were. They were just a bunch of hypocrites that were coming there to just see what kind of an answer they get in, that they might have reason to accuse him to wrong. And so we see the relationship wasn't there. They didn't have any relationship with God or godliness. The only thing on their mind was trying to get the Lord tied up in his speech that he'd say something out of turn. They might have it to use against him. And he said, show me the tribute money. And the Bible says, and they brought unto him a penny. This shows right there a bunch of tightwads. Amen. Amen. They probably brought the smallest coin they could find him, and they brought him a penny. They could look at, I guess they was afraid he was like them. They'd steal it. He might stick it in his pocket and say, yeah, look there, I taught you a lesson. Don't want to catch you with no more of them. Amen. Now I'm going to take now and go pay my taxes. Amen. That's what they thought. But he calls them hypocrites. And he asked him a question. He said, "Whose is the image and superscription?" Say, "Who's on that penny?" Amen. Who is on that penny? And they said unto him, "Caesar's." Then said he unto them, "Render therefore unto Caesar's the things which are Caesar's." Now watch this. And unto God the things that are God's. Amen. I want to say that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where things happen in a real way, praise God. And when we render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, amen, as long as we're here, we're going to have to pay taxes. We're going to have to pay our share. And I ain't got a problem with paying my fair share. Amen. I just wish everybody else had to. Amen. Praise God. I just wish everybody else would pay their prayer share. He said, but render unto Caesar things are Caesar's and unto God the things that are God's. So we see the government and we see God. And what the Bible teaches us here, Jesus teaches here, is that we need to obey God rather than man. As long as the government lines up with God, we can go with the government. Amen? Because then you're going with God. Hello, listen to me. You say, well, preacher, I don't know what this, how this is irrelevant to anything that we do. Praise God, it's not irrelevant. It fits right in. Because we need to realize, praise God, where we stand, whose side we're on. And if we'll go with God, God will go with us. Amen. And He'll go before us if we'll trust Him. But when we get away from God and we go with what, we start going with what man says, we're putting ourselves in a mess. We're disaligning ourselves with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we are to obey the law. Amen. And let the we are to obey the law of the land until the law of the land goes contrary to the law of God. Amen. It tells us that. Look at Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. What he tells us. Paul's talking in Romans chapter 13, verse number 1. He said, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers of that be are ordained of God. In other words, God put people in places on purpose. I believe that, don't you?
Yeah.
I believe God puts people in places on purpose. He said, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. That's why we ought to mind God. Hello? You ought to be obedient unto God. He said, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Our leaders ought to stand up for what's right. And they ought to stand up for what's right according to what God says is right. Amen? We need to get back to that. We need to get away from what I think and you think and what God says.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, I'm telling you the truth. We need to get away from what I think, what you think, what God says. That's what makes a difference. That's what will give us help today. Amen.
Amen.
He said, wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. You do good and praise God, good will praise you. You'll get glory from God when you do right. So for he is a minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. So as long as you do right, praise God, you shouldn't have no problems in this world. And then we're living a day and hour, we got these young men running around these cities, and they're doing everything contrary to godliness. And then when retribution comes down upon them, they blame the authorities. Amen. Praise God. I want to tell you, every one of us is responsible for ourselves.
Amen.
Amen. For what we do, what we think, and how we act, and how we react.
Amen.
Amen. And when we're in situations, we got to be mindful of who we are and who the authority is. Amen. You know what? Where that comes in, just having a little bit of respect. We ought to show respect, praise God, for the office. Amen. We may not respect the person, but we should respect the office. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. See, we got a conscience. God put something in us so we know right from wrong. Hello? He lets us look into the book and he lets us see, praise God, where we're at. And as long as we're trucking along and we're doing all right, praise God, we can be all right in the eyes of a holy God. But we get contrary outside of what He says, then we're going in the wrong direction. He says, verse number 6, he said, for this cause may you tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So he said we need to get our perspective back, praise God, and we need to honor those, praise God, that are honorable. Those that are doing for God, those that are standing for God, those that are being accountable to God, and praise God, and we are to honor them. I tell you what we are doing today in the hour we live, we ought to honor the old saints of God, praise God, that's walked in this road for a long time. We'll lift them up and thank God for them, praise God, because they got us to where we are. Without them, we'd never made it. We'd never been here. We'd never had the opportunity. I appreciate you. I preach a faith check to folks in this church who's been here for 30 and 40 and 50 years, praise God. Holding up that blessed old banner, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. He said we ought to honor them and respect them and show them some honor, praise God, even in this world. As long as they're staying with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. In Acts chapter number 4, the Bible says this. Acts chapter number 4, verse number 18. The Bible says, if I get the right page. He said, and they called them, talking about Peter and John. He said, they called him, commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Now, they got Peter and John. They brought them in. They said, hey, listen, okay, you're okay, but don't mention this man Jesus no more. You got to quit talking about Jesus. Amen. You said you can't say anything else about this Jesus fella. So we see this, there's two realms here. There's a realm of those that's godly, and those that love the Lord, and those that try to do right, and then there's a realm of the ungodly that don't want to do anything to bring honor and glory to God. And so we find ourselves in the midst of this. So what do? The same thing that Peter and John did. They said, you know, we're just going to follow God. We're going to go with God. Amen. He said, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for they all glorified God for that which was done. Amen. Praise God. They said, hey, listen, they said, are we supposed to mind you, or are we supposed to listen to God? He said, what we're going to do, we're just going to listen to God. I mean, what we got to do, praise God, what do we do? We just go with God. We follow God. The world and everything around us may be going in different directions, praise God. It's our job, our responsibility, just stay with God. Amen. You say, well, how do we know how to do that? Because God's Word tells us. Amen. We just stay away from those things that's ungodly. We shun the very appearance of evil, and we go with good. Amen. We stay with God. And God will give us the direction that we need to go. And He'll walk in it with us, praise the Lord. So we see the government. He says, what do we do about this government? He said, you render to Caesar the things that Caesar's, and said, you render to things to God the things that are God's. Amen. That's pretty simple. I don't see the problem with that, but a whole lot of people do. Say, well, preacher, it's just not that cut and dry. It is to me. Jesus said it. Amen. If Jesus said, praise God, I'm just going to go with it. How about you? Amen. So you see in our relationship, praise God, we just got to stay with the Lord. Amen. And then they go on and these other fellows come in, these Sadducees, and they're sad, you see, because they don't believe in the resurrection. Amen. That would make me sad too if I didn't believe in the resurrection. Amen. I wouldn't have no hope, praise God, in this world, much less after out of this world. And they said to him, Master, verse 24, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brethren. And so they go through this big old spell of how the husband and what. Now, if we get it, our relationship between God and the government, or government and God, and a relationship between a husband and a wife. Amen. That about covers the full spectrum of our lifetime, doesn't it? Amen. That's about what it represents. But we see them, and they're bringing this up before Jesus. And they said, this man had a wife, and, you know, he died, and he didn't have any seed. So, you know, then his brother's supposed to take her, and he had seven brothers, and now they all had her. They all knew her. They all took her to wife. And then the woman died also. Now, listen to this. The woman died also. And so they ask him this question. He said, therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Amen. He said, so in the resurrection, of course, they didn't believe in a resurrection anyway, but they said, if there was a resurrection, or is in the resurrection, whose wife is this woman going to be? She had seven husbands. I won't say in the world that we live, there's a whole lot that's had about that many. Amen. But the Bible, Jesus speaks out, and Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures. Now watch this, nor the power of God. He said, you messed up, you're err, you don't know the Scriptures, much less the power of God. Amen. Because he says the relationship between a husband and a wife. He said, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. There's your answer. Amen? He said, well, preacher, what does it mean? It means, praise God, there is no husbands and wives in heaven other than the Lord Jesus Christ and His wife, the church. Amen. That's what is represented, praise God, in the portals of glory. See, what they were doing, they were bringing to Him the Levitical law, and the Levitical law was set up to maintain a purity of the nation of Israel. That's why they did what they did. That's why they said what they said. Amen? So if they could preserve seed because God was trying to build a nation. Amen. Praise the Lord. So He rebukes them and their mistake, their error was, praise God, and He quotes it. They mistranslated the doctrine of the resurrection. So the Lord has corrected them here. He said, you need to have a relationship so you can understand the teachings of the resurrection. Amen. And Jesus takes them all the way back to Exodus. You said Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus chapter number 3, verse number 6. This is what the Bible says about it. He said, moreover, He said, now this is God speaking. I am the God, that's ego of me, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now watch this, go on down to verse 15. And God said, moreover, unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto... Now Moses asked, who am I going to say? He said, I am sent me. Praise God. I am sent you. He said, and God said, moreover, unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. So He said, listen, said I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Moses. Amen? And listen to what Jesus says. He said, but as touching the resurrection... Now He's dealing with this marriage issue, but now listen to what He says. For in the resurrection, verse 30, they neither marry or given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Amen. Praise God. God's not a God of the dead. Amen. Praise God. He's a God of the living. So God, Jesus quotes it to him. He brings it to remember the doctrine of the resurrection that God, verse 32, God is a God of the living. Amen. Praise the Lord. So a husband and a wife relationship here on earth. I've got this question two or three times here in the last couple of weeks, just out of the blue. Fella called me the other day on the way home from work. He said, preacher, I just got a question. Said, I was thinking about it. Praise God, in this husband and wife thing. And, you know, this woman had a wife and had a husband. And he died, and now she's got another husband. And she's wondering when she gets to heaven, will he know who her first husband was? And they've got all kind of... And people wonder that stuff. Amen. I do too. But what does God say about it? Who's they going to be? Whose husband? You know, will you know your family when you get there? Huh? Will we know our family when we get to heaven? Will we know the people, praise God, that we loved and cared for while we was here? And Jesus lays this thing out just as clear as you can see it. Praise God. He said He's the God of the living. He said He's not a God of the dead. Praise God. He's a God. Remember the transfiguration? Remember He told me, He said, praise God, you're going to see the resurrection before, praise God, some of you here will not be, you'll not die, you'll not pass through till you see the resurrection. And he got up there and He told them, He said, when they got up there on the Mount of Transfiguration, all of a sudden there was Moses and Elijah, praise God, in the presence, and they saw them face to face because God is not a God of the dead. God is a God of the living. But I want to tell you, I got so excited this morning about blowing a gasket. Praise God, I can't find anywhere in there, Brother Junior, where they had to pull him up and say, now, John Peter, this is Mr. Moses. and this is Mr. Elijah. Praise God Almighty. When they stepped out at the portals of glory, and there they was in their presence, they said, glory, hallelujah. Let's set us up a shrine here. Let's make a memorial here. Praise God, there's Jesus, and there's Moses, and Elijah. Praise God, them old saints of God.
Amen.
Didn't have to tell nobody who they were. They knew who they were. They were children of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Moses at that time had been dead over 1,500 years. Needless to say, they never met him. Amen. At that time, needless to say, Elijah had been dead close to 900 years. Needless to say, they never met him. But glory, hallelujah. They didn't have to have Brother Robert no introduction. I praise God when Moses and Elijah stepped out on the scene. Glory, hallelujah. They said, it's Moses and Elijah. Praise God. Old men of God. Amen. What are you saying, Pastor Seth? I believe we get into portals of glory. Amen. All those old saints of God that's gone on before, we'll know who they are.
Amen.
Praise His holy name. Brother Bill, we won't have to wonder, who's that over there? One of our near acquaintance, near kin. Praise God, done made it to glory. Amen. We'll see them and we'll recognize them. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. You say, well, preacher, if that's the case, then why do we have relationships here and we have husbands and wives here in the world? God done that to replenish the earth.
Amen.
He created the family unit to procreate and produce the offspring. Amen. You mean, Pastor, there's not going to be any of that in heaven? Won't need to be. Amen. Won't need to be none of that in heaven, praise God, because everybody that's going to be there will be there. Hallelujah. In the presence of God. You say, well, what is a husband and wife? What is this relationship about? It's about being what Christ would have us to be. It's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a picture of the church, and it's a picture of the promise of God. Amen. Next time when you look over across the breakfast table at your wife or your husband, and they ain't combed and curled their hair yet, ain't shaved her old ruddy face, praise God, say glory, hallelujah. That's just the promise of God right there. Amen. God doesn't give them to me. It's a picture of Christ as you look at them across the table. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. What it's supposed to be. Amen. In Ephesians chapter number 5, let me just show you. In Ephesians chapter number 5. In Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 21, the Bible says, "Submit yourself submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body." Boy, if we could get back to believing that, amen. Praise God. I tell you, when they started this feminism and all this mess, boy, women, they done themselves a disservice. Amen. Now, I know there's some sorry no-account men out there that they have to step up. Women do all the time and do most of it. I understand that. But when we get away from where the man don't have enough backbone to stand up and be the provider, protector of his home, praise God, we're in a mess. Because he's supposed to be the head of the wife. Even as Christ, the head of the church, and He is to be the Savior of the body. He's supposed to take care of your wives.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." But listen to what He says. He said, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That He might present it to Himself." Now watch this, a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But that it should be holy and without blemish. Man, we ought to be picking them up and helping them, encourage them. Amen. Praise the Lord. "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this cause shall man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." Now watch this, verse 32. He said, this is the great mystery. But now listen to what he says. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Fellas, let me tell you what God's... Our relationship with our wives is a picture, should be a picture and a purpose and a promise of Jesus Christ and His church. Sets a whole new perspective for it, doesn't it? Amen. Praise God. But he said, hey, listen, further on, because of that further on, there's a fuller and a better perspective. There's a fuller and a better hope. In 1 Corinthians 13:12, I believe Sister Susie's quoting it a minute ago. He said, but then shall I know it. I know even as also I am known. You say, preacher, will we know our loved ones when we get there? The Bible says, Paul says, I'm going to know even as I was known. Amen. Praise God. That's why we ought to be spiritual. We ought to love God. We ought to love each other. Praise God. And we get to heaven, it'll show forth. Amen. We can pull up on glory. Praise God. Those that's gone ahead, they're all over our shouting, praise the Lord, waiting for us to get there. And the Spirit will bear witness with their spirit, and we'll know them. Amen. Praise God. We'll know who they are. Praise God. Because we knew them before. A relationship with one another. Amen. And then he goes on in verse number 35, 34. And he talks about not only government and God, the relationship between government and God and a husband and a wife and God, but a relationship with Christ. Right? Christ our Lord. People in the Pharisees, verse 34, had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence. They were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, say, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And he said, what we should do is we should love for a deeper relationship, amen, a relationship of love. We should love God with all our heart and our soul and our mind. Amen. Praise God. Every fiber in our being should be turned toward God. So this is the first and great commandment. He said, and the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Amen. He said, you should love your neighbor as much as you love you. He said, well, you can't. I said, I can't do that, preacher, because I love me a whole lot. Amen? And we do, don't we? I love me a lot. These people sometimes say, well, you know, talk about committing suicide. Praise God. I said, if somebody said I commit suicide, don't you believe in a minute? I love me too much. Right. Amen. I like me too much for that, praise God. I'm going to hang out here as long as I can. Amen. But he said, we're supposed to love God with our soul, and our heart, and our mind, and our soul. That's the whole person who we are. Every fiber in us. And we ought to love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen. He said, if we do that, he said, and the second likened to it, we should love our neighbors as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. He said, so here it is. He said, if we put it in perspective, he said, it's our responsibility to love God and to love others along the way. Amen. Our responsibilities of to other people, to love them. It's a hard thing. We get caught up in this world and we're too busy. We're too busy to love our own families, much less to love strangers out in the way. But he said, we ought to love each other. And he said the whole law of God in the prophets is set up on us loving the Lord God in our heart, and our soul, and our mind, the whole person and our personality and every fiber in us, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's relationships. We ought to be building relationships. Amen. You know how people put, let me just tell you this real quickly and I'll hush. When missionaries go, Miss Myra smiles, she don't believe that. Some loud time, don't I? Amen. When people go to the mission field, you know what their number one goal is when they get there? The number one goal? It's not to start winning souls. It's to begin to make relationships. To begin to talk to people and build relationships.
Because if without a relationship, a good relationship, you can't win nobody to Christ. But once you form a relationship, when you love God with your heart and your mind and your soul, every fiber in your whole body, he said, then you can begin to build relationships. And then those relationships can woo people to God. Amen. So they can be saved. Amen. What Jesus was telling us here, in everything, in every fiber, every aspect of our lives, it's important to have a good relationship. Because through good relationships, we can show others the love of Christ. Amen. A lot of times it's an uphill climb. It takes a lot of work to have a right relationship. But I want to say in the end, with God's help, it's worth it. In the end, with God's help, it's worth it because we get to see people won to Christ. The people get saved, born again, ready to go to heaven. Because this is what heaven is all about. And one day we'll get there. Amen. All of us that's got a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, not just a profession, but a possession, a relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior.